With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Howdy, third hour, coming alive, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. As you start to make your way through traffic on the East Coast, getting home, middle of the country, West Coast, getting a little lunch, middle of your day. Hopefully it's going well for you. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206.
You launched me into a soccer conversation with Sam.
Oh, I just checked out when you guys talked. I couldn't listen. You know I love you. I could not be less interested.
We were confused.
What you are talking about. Well, I don't care.
That's a lie.
And I don't care.
That's a lie because you were interested when we were talking about Lorenzo Lamas.
Because you were saying his name wrong. Because I know his name.
I confused him with
talking about Alexi Lalas. I mean, that's something I got to chirp in. I was on my computer reading NBA stuff.
And you're like piping in Falcon Crest.
Oh, yeah. My parents used to love Falcon's Crest.
Falcon Crest.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was like in the 80s. I was like Dallas and Falcon's
career.
Crest. And
Lamas.
Yeah, pretty. Lamas,
yeah. Lalas or Lamas? No, Lamas.
Barney Miller was a different genre. We're having two totally different. I'm purposely steering it away from anything that remotely has to
anyway,
do with soccer.
It got back to, obviously,
what was the
Virginia Cavaliers and Claudio Reyna.
I have less interest in that.
He won three national
Ralph Sampson,
championships at UVA.
I love.
Yes, because you just met him this weekend.
Coach Bennett, I love.
I hear you.
Soccer players at UVA, I really don't care.
They were good.
I'm not saying they weren't good.
They were
I'm just
good
saying I don't care.
90s.
I don't care about soccer players at Marist.
You better respect Virginia right now. National champions in two sports.
I respect all champions.
Thank you.
Just
appreciate
doesn't mean I have to get interested in what they do. My brother-in-law, we were away this weekend, as you know. He played college soccer, D2, in Texas. He still, like, I don't know this. He still says it's the largest sport in the world. Like, I don't know that.
Well, it is.
I don't challenge that.
So many kids play it.
I don't challenge that.
It's not monetized in the United States.
Yeah. We have teams.
So as a result, we don't care.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to.
And until I see some real traction and palpable shifting, some changes in the way soccer is consumed on the TV and the way it's covered on the radio, mainstream debate shows, which it never will be, by the way, I don't care.
It's getting there.
No, it's not.
Slowly but surely it is.
It's not getting anywhere there.
But it's not the American game. It's the international game.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Let's say Stephen A. and Max do First Take for 10 more years. You think they ever talk about soccer?
No, because
the answer is no.
Look, Stephen A. barely knows enough about football to talk about football, but he still talks about it.
But they get the biggest ratings. I mean, but they talk about what's important. What people care about.
Or it's what
based on numbers.
Or it's what you force down their throats.
No, that's not true, because I can shove baseball down. Stop taking your head.
They'll talk.
I can shove baseball down your throat. It's not going to be that interesting to a lot of people.
So
I don't do it.
If you have an interesting take on it, you'd certainly. BT, the netting thing came up. About a week ago.
When the little girl was hit?
Yeah.
About 9 or 10 days ago.
Because
we talked to
A.J. Hinch yesterday, and it was a week from when we talked to A.J. Hinch. So
correct.
A week ago, this came up. We talked about it on Thursday. You were out Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I mentioned it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't mention it on Monday, right? And so we come back. It's now Thursday. You bring it up. You have a big emotional take on it because of Rob Manfred's position on why he's not putting it up. It's economic. He wants to say it's logistics, but it's economic because he doesn't want those people who are complaining about having to look through the net to be pissed off and not go to the games anymore because there's already a decline in games. You gave an impassioned stance on it, a take on it.
Mm-hmm.
We had 15 calls on it.
We could do it the rest of the hour if we wanted
to. We easily could have done it for the rest of the show. So my point is, if you have a passionate take on something, then people will pay attention to it. What Stephen A. and Max do is they have a passion, even if it's nonsense, they have a passion take on a subject.
But what's the passionate take about soccer?
Oh, my Lord.
No, seriously, what is it?
There's so much of it.
I know you like soccer, where is the passion?
There's so much in it.
I'm all ears.
Here's the current controversy going on right now.
Okay.
So Liverpool lost.
And do you really care about this? I mean, honestly.
Well, I told you why I care. My brother's a Man U fan because the Glazers, who own the Buccaneers, own Manchester United. So he became a soccer fan. So whenever we would talk, which is frequent, he's talking about Man U. And he's like talking in like these English accents. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like all these idiosyncrasies that he's developing. Because
Rodgers getting a little weird in his retirement.
Yeah, you know, it's like rich people problems. He's played for 16 years and had game checks for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like... like he's having these conversations about soccer. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Okay.
And he says to me, you would understand if you'd become a fan.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, what team should I follow? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know, pick one. Find a story that you like and pick one. And so I finally picked Liverpool because the guys in the newsroom, by the way, the producers on the other shows who all watch soccer, they're sitting on the other side of this.
They're all nerds.
It doesn't matter. They introduced me to Sadio Mane, who's in Liverpool. He's a little kid from Africa with a little stripe in his hair, and he has this sick back kick goal that was just cool. I was like, man, that was unbelievable, right? And so I just started following him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that there's a deep team there, and it happens to be the season that they are playing phenomenal. They get 97 points, which was a record in the Premier League this year, but they lost the Premier League by 1 point to Man City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the current controversy is that you're supposed to populate your team with the income that you get from running the team, right? But Man City just buys
like
players.
Like a salary cap?
Yes, but there is no salary cap. But it's basically how much you earn, that's how much you can spend.
Okay.
Man City's like the Yankees, right? The old Yankees.
I might have to like Man City then.
Not the current Yankees, the old Yankees who were like irresponsible and just buying player, buying player, buying player,
but
buying
still champions.
Player. Yes, but people hate them. So, like, people hate Man City. And so
I like a villainous identity.
After they won the Premier League championship, all these stories started coming out about how they were paying more money than they should have for this team that they populated.
But there's no rules. There's no salary cap. So what do they circumvent? What are people complaining about?
People say they're cheating.
How are they cheating if there's no rules?
Because it's just cheating.
It's an empty, hollow argument.
You can't cheat
if there's no rules.
Of course there is. Just like the Yankees. They weren't cheating when they were spending $250 million a year on their payroll. Yeah, they were paying some tax on it, but who cares? They were making 10 times the tax on the brand of the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And so people just started hating the Yankees.
Do the other soccer teams have, in theory, access to, do they have the same revenue stream?
No, of course not.
To reinvest that in some of the...
So here's what happens. If your team's not popular and you don't have the stud, you don't have a Mohamed Salah or I'm trying to think of these guys off the top of my head.
Ronaldo, you're basically the Oakland A's. Ronaldo, you could be good, but you're not.
Even though then he's not in the Premier League. He's in Italy.
This is the other problem. How many leagues are there?
It's country.
I don't even know how
it's
many
country.
Leagues there are.
It's country. There's tons of them.
Oh,
BC.
This is what I mean.
There's tons of them.
It's interesting. It's not interesting.
There's
it's
a Premier League, and if you don't finish in the top, if you finish in the bottom three, you get relegated, BT.
That I know. And that much I know.
And you know why that sucks? Mm. Because if you get relegated, you're no longer getting Premier League money.
Okay.
So how do you build yourself
don't
back?
Don't get relegated.
But somebody's got to finish the bottom
three.
That's
not my
three.
Problem. Draft or sign or scout or develop well.
So
got no problem.
So the stakes are high. Right, they're really
high. I'm
not
saying that they're not.
They're really
high.
I just
don't understand them.
And there's a bunch of leagues. So it's by country. The Premier League is England.
Yeah, that I know.
The Bundesliga is Germany.
Yeah.
La Liga is Spain.
Spain.
And then
where's Portugal? I mean, you got.
I'm trying to remember what France is now. I can't remember what it is. But so it's like it's you just pick a team and you fall in love with.
It's not picking a team. It's picking a league. It's picking a team from a league.
No, it starts with a player. Starts with a player you like, and then you follow that player.
See, but that goes against every grain of my fandom. I don't pick a player. Every team that I root for,
Europeans,
I love the Yankees,
Europeans don't
I love
pick a
the
player.
Knicks, I love the Jets,
Europeans,
and I loved them before I loved any player.
But Europeans don't pick a player. They pick the team is literally in their town.
Yeah, no, I hear
you. Know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like Manchester, there's two teams in Manchester. Manchester City, Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
You pick a team.
Are they in the same league?
Yes, they're in the Premier League.
Okay.
Man City won.
Different divisions like the Yankees
no,
and the Mets?
It's just one. It's the Premier League. It's the Premier League.
So the you could have the NFL like one broad umbrella,
but everybody plays each other.
And
you
listen,
get points for winning.
I understand. I sound like an idiot to real soccer fans.
No, you don't.
I don't.
But that's the issue. You gotta learn it.
I don't have time in my brain or time in my life to learn something in my 40s. Something I have no passion about.
I don't have time. Samter brought up an interesting point. I said this on Monday about soccer. Mm-hmm. Like we look at him and say, oh, it's a boring sport. There's no scoring.
There's not.
If 2-1 is a score in soccer, because we arbitrarily just give you 1 point for scoring, mm-hmm. it's no different than a 14-7.
Yeah, 14-7 stinks. Who the hell wants to watch 14-7 in the NFL?
It could be a great defensive battle.
Nobody
could be
wants
a couple
to see
interceptions.
That. You want to watch the Tennessee Titans play or the Kansas City Chiefs play?
Did you enjoy the New England Patriots winning a Super Bowl?
No, I hate the Patriots.
It was a boring, dragged-out game.
But they
won. And if that's how you win, then you win. That's how Liverpool won the Champions League tournament, which is different than the Premier League championship. They won the Champions League. They scored a goal. It was a handball in the first 30 seconds of the game.
But the handball against Ireland a couple of years ago to qualify for the World Cup, that one wasn't called against my people. You see?
Yes,
I know more than I let on. And that bothered me. The handball that was neglected against Ireland, I will never forgive him for that.
This is your Irish side, not your Italian side.
Italy's pretty good.
I know they're good.
Italy's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So you should follow them. Start by following the Italian.
But I have an Irish last name. Mm-hmm. Mm. Even though I look more Italian than I look Irish.
I'm trying to figure out how to make Tierney Italian.
Tirinato?
Tirinato.
That's actually sound like that's Spanish, Tirinato.
Wait, what's your mom's maiden name?
Tierney. I'm not going to give that out.
What's your mom's maiden name?
I'm not going to give that out. I'll tell you
all. Is it end with an A?
Don't worry about it. We got deep roots.
Ends with an O?
I don't want anybody hunting us down here. It does begin with, it ends in an O.
Of course it does.
Listen, I do want to say this because I don't want it to come across as I am so far past the point of people saying you don't respect. It's not respecting the sport. They are great athletes.
Oh, no doubt.
The fandom is undeniable. The venues are electric. I get it. The place
dangerously
in the world.
Dangerously so sometimes, by the way.
The place and the presence within the sporting imprint within our universe is undeniable. These are all things I grant the soccer community. Mm-hmm. I'm not challenging. You know, it's the depth in which it reaches every corner of the world. That's not my MO. I just don't like it, and I never will.
I think you will.
I will never. I'll tell you a true story last night. So we finally got the sod down in the backyard, mm-hmm. right? And we have a pretty big backyard. And Jen texts me, and I get home around 7:10, 7:12, whatever. Colton had a Little League game on Tuesday. How into it was it? Was I?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Tuesday's usually practice, but a couple of the rain outs, Saturday's games. I love it. Kinsley starts playing. Can't wait. Basketball, golf, all into it. Now, my wife played soccer. She was all state in Texas, all league and all city in Texas. Could have played D2. She was very good. So she gets pissed when I destroy soccer. She texts me and she says, "Hey, come in the backyard. We're playing soccer." You may as well said, "Come in the backyard. We have to dig 5 more ditches."
Why?
It's just not. Kick the ball. I want to throw a ball.
It's so
I want to hit a ball. I don't want to kick.
It requires so much more skill.
I'm not shooting down the skill.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not saying that. It's just not in my soul. Listen, for better or for worse, your partner is an authentic person.
Yeah, I know.
I can't fake something I don't understand and that doesn't pulsate through my body. And I never played.
I was that
just
way
the way
as
I'm
well.
Wired, man.
I never played. I didn't get exposed really to it until I went to college, and Virginia was winning national championships, as I was just alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bruce Arena, who was the
old Metro Stars coach.
Exactly. But he was the coach at UVA. Then he was U.S. men's national team's coach. So it just kind of stuck with me.
Who was the foreigner coach in Team USA? I didn't trust that guy, the German coach. What was his name?
I thought he was German.
I thought he sabotaged us a little bit. Why can't we have an American coach?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's a great question.
Is that too PC to say?
No.
USA, can we have an American coach?
Klinsmann. Yeah, Jürgen Klinsmann. That's right.
Yeah, who knows what his motivation was? Mm-hmm. Sabotage.
And weren't we in the same
growth of
weren't
soccer.
We in the same group as Germany?
Were we among the four?
I think we might have been amongst the same group.
That I'm not sure about. That would be even more disconcerting.
BT, I was the way you were for a long time until I got into it.
Yeah, but not in your 40s. How do you change in your 40s?
No. I mean, I knew about the sport because Virginia had a good team, but I didn't really get into it until less than a year ago. And so now I know what's happening in European soccer.
I got you.
MLS is a long way away, but European
it's
soccer
never gonna
is
make
interesting.
It. It's never going to make it big time. It's not. It's going to be a little pockets and a little niche thing, and I'm not here to disparage
what,
it, but it's never going to make it big.
U.S.?
MLS.
Yes, I agree.
Never.
I think you're right.
Never.
And if it is, it's going to be like a decade from now. They need to expand. There needs to be many more teams than
expand.
There currently is.
You expand because there's a demand and there's a desire. There's a, like, we need this. We have to consume this. You don't expand just to expand.
They're expanding.
Where are they expanding to?
To new cities.
Which ones?
I'm telling you, they're expanding.
Oh, I'm lost. These 17 minutes have just knocked the life
You're right,
out of me.
But look, I got in a soccer conversation once in 2 weeks.
I was complicit there, though. I don't want to say I allowed it to happen, because if you wanted to do it, you were going to do it anyway. But I rolled along with it. I knew what
I'm
I was doing.
I'm going to convince you one of these days.
Listen, it's not that I don't want to learn about it. It just, there's no other way for me
I'm
to say
do,
it.
You know
it
what?
Just doesn't connect to my
Here's
sporting
Here's what I'm going to do,
soul,
BT.
Period.
I'm going to find, because we got to get to Antonio Daniels on the other side of this break.
We got to take a break?
I'm going to research and find a team that fits your soul. Whether it's a player or whatever, I'm going to introduce you to it, and you're going to love
based
it.
Based on my characteristics
based,
as a person?
Based on your characteristics.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Every team has a characteristic.
If you find one, I'll make a deal with you. Mm-hmm. I will be open to at least trying to become a fan of that team.
Nice.
As big a fan as I can become without, you know, the fervor that I have for everything that I really truly
and
have.
Then when they
I will be open to
and
that.
And then when they play Liverpool, we'll take a trip across the ocean.
We'll do a remote.
That'd be cool.
Imagine that. Hey, listen, we go to the NFL draft.
Why
we go
not?
To the Final Four. We'll go to Europe. We'll hey, do a show.
You're right.
That'll get me involved in the sport.
250,000 people screaming.
We might get arrested out there, but so I don't know if yeah. Tiki Tears is going to be when we get back. D-Cell, what do you think about this? We'll break in a second. D-Cell, what do you think about this? Give me 20 seconds.
D-Cell could care less.
I'm not anti-soccer guy.
You see the way he just grabbed the mic, resignation. He grabbed the mic like, oh, I'm getting sucked into this nonsense now.
I'm not anti-soccer guy. I can't contribute to the conversation. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, so you're with me.
I'm not disrespecting soccer.
No, I'm not trying to do that either.
It's easy to solve that problem.
What?
Not knowing what you're talking about. Just watch.
Yeah. I'll tell you this one thing, just very quickly. You watch a baseball game, it takes 3 to 4 hours. You're going to commercial break after commercial break. The guys are going, doing their gloves. Basketball, foul after foul after foul. Football, a 60-minute game is 13 minutes of actual action. Soccer is simple. It's 45 minutes in the first half. There's no stoppages. There's no commercial breaks. You can talk whatever you want about guys flopping and faking injuries.
Sure.
It's 45 minutes of just straight action. 15-minute halftime, 45 minutes of action. Then there's either an overtime, if it's like a playoff game,
yep.
Or it ends in a tie, and that's the end of it.
A little extra time. But, Mike, define action. To me, a 1-0 game is not action-filled.
So we talked about this, and we talked about this the other day. A 14-7 football game is 2-1.
I understand that. But I just said, do you want to watch the Titans or do you want to watch the Chiefs? The Chiefs.
Sure, but like
Mariota scores 14 points.
Manchester City averaged 3 goals a game. They were the best team. They averaged 3 goals a game. That's 21 points.
They pay too much for their talent. That's why.
Right, but that's 21 points a game. So
that's the start of the conversation, by
exactly.
the way. That's how you wrote me
and
in.
It's a mistake to think of lack of goals as lack of action.
I agree.
That's incorrect.
No, I'm not saying that. There's the finer points of the game for sure, but you have to be a real fan to appreciate that. Obviously, you know, defense and great passing and vision. There's action there. Of course there's action there. I mean, listen, it's like somebody who doesn't understand basketball, me saying, well, there's no action unless the ball goes through the net. That's nonsense. You can run 5 back screens and you can move without the ball
right.
Like Reggie Miller or like an expert, and there's incredible. I know that there's action. I mean action with finality, which is punctuated by a goal. All right. We know where we stand. All right, we got Antonio Daniels coming up next. Looking for, he's great. Actually, I heard him a little bit earlier today on SiriusXM. He was doing his thing. So we'll talk hoops with him. And he's part of the broadcast team as well for the Pelicans and the Thunder. So he might have something on Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. We know that situation's changing. We'll get to it coming up. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes, to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped directly to your home or to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O Rewards loyalty member, and you'll earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
Okay,
every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. And depending upon which way you lean here, this is probably a pretty fair representation of that last segment here, all right? Jeff Miller tweet, then we'll get to the blast. We actually push back Antonio Daniels, get a nice full segment with us, so we'll do him coming up next segment.
Yeah, he's great, and a lot to ask him about this finals.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
Jeff Miller tweets, please stop talking about soccer. The network must mandate that you do it. Trust me, they don't mandate anything, but it's awful. I'm 100% with BT. Next one. If I wanted to watch jogging, I would crack a beer and go to the park. Soccer
is boring.
See, I jog
too, by the way.
And you do.
And I watched the London Marathon on TV.
The next one is from Zimbo at Zim Beardo. That soccer talk was straight fire. Get this guy a nice Italian team. And then he actually recommends AS Roma. AS Roma, he believes, is a team that I should possibly latch on to. And then some others way to Tiki. I'm a big Liverpool fan as well. Blah, blah, blah. Love my boy Mo Salah. Great year for us talking soccer stuff. So you either loved it or you hated it.
But that's soccer.
I got you.
You either love it or you hate it.
I got
you. It is what it is.
And it's, listen, not different from golf. The one difference.
That's a great point.
The one difference is that golf dominates. Like when Tiger's the Masters, but, the U.S. Open.
Hold on. Before,
people watch
before,
golf on
before
CBS.
Before Tiger, do you think it would have been more skewed? Yes,
it would still
like
be
golf.
10 times more popular than soccer.
No, I'm talking about the dichotomy. I'm talking about the dichotomy. Like, because there's still a good group of people.
Yeah.
Like, I had my board meeting today, I told you. Mm-hmm. My co-founder, Mark, he was like, we talking about some golf event. He's like, I hate golf. And that was it. We didn't even continue the conversation. I hate golf.
So you took his cue. Unlike when I say I hate soccer,
yeah,
you don't
exactly.
take my cue.
Because I don't know. I don't think you hate soccer. You just don't know soccer. You just
Listen,
don't know soccer.
I don't hate anything interesting. And I certainly grant everybody, soccer is interesting.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to it. It's just not a passion. I mean, yeah. I now I'm just becoming like the parrot who
but
keeps
my,
repeating the same thing. It's
my,
not my sporting
my
soul.
Question,
what else do you want me to say?
Think about golf before Tiger. Do you think it was that as polar? I guess is really the question. Was it as, God, I can't stand golf. What the hell am I watching golf for? It's an affluent sport that, you know, a bunch of country club kids. And now it's like, oh, I like golf. I actually want to go play at my local course.
I can't answer that because our whole golf fandom, and I'm probably one or two layers even in front of it. I mean, I'm a maniac with golf in terms of consuming it. I'm terrible, but I love, and I play, but I love watching golf.
But you grew.
But
to,
this is all after Tiger. Like, I didn't watch it before
exactly.
Tiger.
That's
I was
point.
Still in school.
So you grew to love it because Tiger interested you, just like a lot of that was. It
Can
for
I be
me.
Honest with you, Teak? I know that it's easy for me, and I don't think I'm repositioning this in my mind. Like, I don't think I'm misremembering.
Yeah,
I didn't get into golf because Tiger. Now, I'm not saying that hurt.
Yeah,
I got into golf because during senior week, with baseball done, we brought a jug of vodka, and one guy brought something else. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. All my ex-teammates were all done.
Is this soon to be legal across the country?
I don't know what you're interpreting. I don't know what he had. I don't know what it was. And I caught one on the screws, and I'm like, whoa, this could be my void for not hitting a baseball anymore.
I hear you.
It was a competitive.
It filled a competitive void. It was a playing thing.
It was a competitive thing for sure.
But playing. You actually
absolutely.
Doing it. Not watching.
Not with the fervor. Yeah. I would say the last
See, for me,
10 years I've become, I mean, I watch it. But
so
before
for me,
that, no.
Golf, I got into golf because I watched it. I started watching it because of Tiger. I was like, I can do that. And then
you
I
never watched with Jack, right? It was never on in your house?
Never. Never even had a desire to turn on a golf.
No, me neither.
Masters, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter what it was.
And then Tiger pops on the scene. I'm like, oh, man, this dude's pretty good. Let me go try this game. And I had buddies that were on the golf team. Like, hey, you should come play. I'm like, go play the golf. What are you talking about? And then I started doing it, and I loved it.
Well, the day that you got drafted, you played golf
exactly.
with Ronde, right?
That's
you
what told we decided to do. We decided to go play golf on a just be why not, right? And we were spending time together. We sucked, but whatever.
Yeah,
it was our entree into the NFL. But prior to that, I would have had the same thought about golf that you have about soccer.
But your competitive itch was the NFL.
Yes.
My athletic career was over.
Yeah.
So for me to be able to get on a golf course at the age of 22, 23, when you could swing like a maniac, and if you happen to catch it on the screws, hit it 290, 300, you feel vibrant. You're alive. Like, I still played basketball in pickup leagues. But the other thing that it did was it really allowed me to get with my friends and travel. Couple of buddies, one of my best friends that lives in Connecticut, you start to, hey, let's go to Myrtle Beach for 3 or 4 days and play golf and do whatever we do. And it was like it was a social thing, but the allure of golf initially, and certainly still now, is that it really allowed me to try to compete, to try to get good at something, which 20 years later, I still haven't, amazingly. But in my mind, I'll never quit. I'm just not a quitter. So you keep chasing that thing around. But, soccer, I'm not going to go play soccer. So I don't know that I can replicate, even if I tried, even if I really gave it my all and said, man, I am all in on soccer because I can't go out. Yeah, I could kick the ball in the yard, but you can't replicate like you can with golf. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go play soccer.
It's different. You know what I hope happens?
What?
Colton turns into a great soccer player.
That's what my wife's hoping for.
There's half your family's an influence. I'm just saying.
Hey, listen. If it's going to allow me to take the 529 fund and redirect it to my daughter, redirect it to a boat at some point, if they both play.
Why do you think I'm hoping for AJ and Chase to get scholarships?
Hey, listen, and if either
there's
one
four
is,
more after you guys, boys.
I know. And if either one is good at soccer, I can't add anything to their. Yeah. I will be there. I will be at every game, every important for sure.
Of course, you will.
But I'd rather be on a baseball diamond.
And then you'll grow to like it.
Or a basketball court.
Dad, I want to watch Man City.
Or a football field.
Or Liverpool.
Or a driving range. Or a putting green.
Or PSG. Or Barcelona.
Let's get Axe update before we're late again. We have Antonio Daniels coming up, NBA analyst, SiriusXM, and also for Fox Sports. He does the Pelicans and the Thunder. We'll focus on Anthony Davis. They're going to trade him. Where is he going? NBA Finals reaction. Does he think KD plays at all? Klay Thompson, was he cool with their decision not to play him last night? That's after Ack, who's right now, Rich. Okay, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiki and Tierney back with you. Been an interesting hour with Tiki trying to shove soccer down my throat. But I've remained vigilant.
One of these days, BT.
I have fended him off as gamely as I possibly can. We're joined now by our good buddy Antonio Daniels. Love having him on the show. Great energy, great perspective. Former first-round pick back in the day. Top 10 pick. NBA analyst for SiriusXM. I heard him chirping today on the way in. Mm-hmm. Heard him doing his thing. NBA radio, of course, Fox Sports, the Pelicans, and the Thunder. He is a man about town. Antonio, welcome back to Tiki and Tierney. How are you, man?
I'm great, fellas. How you guys doing today?
Doing awesome. Let's start with one of the teams you covered directly. That's the Pelicans. Obviously, Griffin, and this is smart to do this. You take the position. You sit down with Anthony Davis. You see if you can maybe mend a bridge. He tried to do that, and now they've made the determination, at least, going out there and trying to get the best trade package. So, did you ever think there was a chance that Anthony Davis would change his mind, or were you pretty much convinced this is the way it was going to go down, that he still wanted to be dealt?
Once David Griffin got the position, Griff's reputation precedes him as far as his basketball knowledge and what he's done as far as building up rosters. Once that happened, and then the ping pong ball fell to the New Orleans Pelicans, I thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's a chance that Anthony Davis could kind of revisit this whole thing. After now it's a new regime. It's a completely new regime. They've torn it down from the top and they're doing things different now. So you think to yourself, well, maybe Anthony Davis, if he's seeing himself along, if the Pelicans decide to go on and draft Zion, I was like, okay, we're going to have more national TV exposure. I get an opportunity to grow my brand right along next to Zion's brand, sort of similar to the in a different decade, obviously, but the Tim Duncan, David Robinson connection sort of. And obviously, he thought different. I think Anthony Davis's mind right now is on playing with guys that are already established and guys that have already won championships. You talk about going to L.A. and playing with LeBron. He's a three-time champion. Or going to New York and possibly playing with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. After this year, Kevin Durant may be a three-time champion. And Kyrie Irving's a champion in his own right. So, you always got to respect the guy's decision when he does what he feels is best for himself.
Yeah. Antonio, let me ask you about the city of New Orleans as a basketball city? Because so much of this we're positioning as who he's going to play with and he's going to get a chance to win a championship. But is New Orleans an appealing NBA city? Because I don't know if I know from firsthand knowledge.
Appealing as far as what, though? Like, it depends on...
Like the fan base, like the, you know, like the energy that's there, like the economic opportunity. Yeah. Like, all those things that players like to think about when they are considering the facilities, you know, the medical, like all that stuff.
Yes. The facilities are fantastic. They have a new practice facility. And the moment David Griffin went in there, he said, you know what? We are going to put a $3 to $5 million upgrade into this facility. They have a facility that is shared right next to the Saints facility. When they are winning and they are relevant like they were 2 years ago, New Orleans is electric. It is electric. When you go back to when Chris Paul was there with Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic and those guys,
yes.
I was a part of that team. It was electric. You know, it's just in the past, they've been very inconsistent. And it's tough when you're a small market and you're not a very good team at that time. It's tough to get that following, especially when the Saints are as good as they are in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tough act to follow in its own right. But now with small markets, you can grow your brand anywhere. With social media and all these different outlets the athletes have, access that you have, you can grow your brand in any market now.
Oh, yeah. We've been saying, you know, for years, Teak and I, we have an expression probably going back 5 or 6 years. Madison Avenue is mobile now. You know, you don't have to be in New York or L.A. It's Antonio Daniels with us here on Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I had to throw this by before we get to the NBA Finals. There was a pretty interesting trade that went down today. Not the participants necessarily, although now the Hawks have 3 of the top 17 picks in the draft, but the Nets have now carved out $48 million in salary cap space.
Mm-hmm.
They could get the full max for sure. They can retain D'Angelo Russell if they want, or they could get the max and let Russell bolt and get another max here. All sorts of whispers. You know, Kyrie's really thinking about the Nets. Do you believe that Kevin Durant will actually entertain the Nets seriously? Because we kind of have those two guys tied together.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's so hard to figure out what Kevin Durant's going to do or even what Kyrie Irving's going to do, because we can sit here and speculate, but here's the thing that we discussed today. You know, you got Kyrie Irving who's had a history of being injured. You got Kevin Durant who's going through a pretty serious injury now. That final year of that contract is huge. If Kyrie Irving stays in Boston, he gets 5 years. If Kevin Durant stays in Golden State, he gets 5 years. And the difference from that fourth year to that fifth year is, in essence, of $50 to $60 million that you'll be leaving on the table.
Mm.
And when you're constantly injured, like Kyrie Irving has been these past 3 or 4 years, and Kevin Durant is going through a serious injury now you really have to take your time and think about what's best for your future. Because no matter who you are, I know people say, oh, well, you know, he's made $300 million. What's another $60 or $400 million? $60 million is $60 million. $70 million is $70 million, and you don't just walk away from $60 or $70 million, especially if you're not 100% healthy.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. Speaking of KD and not being 100% healthy, it looks like he's already ruled out of game 4. How do you see this playing out with him? Do you think it gets back at all before the series is over?
Fellas, listen, it's a picture today on the internet. that I saw him yesterday as the Warriors were leaving after game 3. And he's basically standing in the tunnel. You can see it everywhere. It's not a picture. It's him standing in the tunnel, high-fiving everybody as they come off.
Yep.
And his ice bag is around his Achilles. It's not on his calf.
Mm.
And I remember watching that game. My first thought was, man, that looks like his Achilles. If you've ever seen someone tear their Achilles, I know, Tiki, I know you've seen this numerous
times. No, I actually ruptured my Achilles. I know, I ruptured
BT
mine.
BT knows firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen many guys do it. Joe Montgomery did it.
LeVar Arrington did it against Dallas.
Exactly.
You look back, because it almost seems like a guy feels like he's been kicked.
Yep.
Like Kevin Durant did. And he reaches down, and then you don't put any pressure on that leg. So my first thought was he tore his Achilles.
Me
then
too.
When you hear, you know what, it's a calf strain. And you're like, all right, cool. Anyone that is a basketball fan that loves the NBA game was so happy to hear that it was just a calf strain for Kevin Durant as opposed to him rupturing or tearing his Achilles. And now you continue to hear he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out. And now you see the pictures of him with the ice bag around his Achilles. It just makes you think. I wonder
what are you saying?
Really,
I mean, are you saying they're lying to us? Are you saying he ruptured? What are you saying?
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor because there's a lot of things that could have happened. He could have been at the end of, you ice for 15 to 20 minutes. This could have been minute 21. And he could have basically pushed the ice bag off of his calf down to his Achilles.
Yeah,
it could have been a number of things. It could have fell down to his. It's a number of different things. So I'm not a doctor by no stretch of the imagination. But I just find it weird that that ice bag was there. You know, it was around his Achilles. So more than anything, I want to see him come back because I am so sick and tired of people with this whole narrative that they're better without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That drives me. That is the biggest narrative that has irked my nerves over probably the past year or so, that the Golden State Warriors are a better team without Kevin Durant. I don't see how anyone can fathom that.
Yeah, Antonio, quite frankly, we don't even waste time on that on this show because it's a complete waste of time. And if people think that they don't know basketball, then we just can't stop
it.
We got to keep moving on from that nonsense. So let me ask you about Klay Thompson. What did you think was going to happen last night? And do you think the Warriors handled it well?
Number one, I think they handled it perfectly.
Yep.
Because I don't think that sometimes you have to not be concerned with the battle, but be concerned with the war. So they could have run the battle last night and lost the war eventually, which basically means they could have got Klay Thompson last night and then lost him for the remainder of the series. You go back a year ago to Chris Paul and the Houston Rockets versus same Golden State Warriors. They were winning 3-2. When Chris Paul injured his hamstring and could not return, he was done for the series. Houston didn't win again. And if you're Coach Steve Kerr, you understand, look, I know you want to play.
Yeah.
I know that we need you. But you are more important to us for game 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know, so you kind of – not to say that they gave that game away, because they didn't. But last night, you know, you're without Kevin Durant. You are without Klay Thompson. You are without Kevon Looney. So not only are you going to suffer offensively to score, but two of your top three defenders aren't on the floor either. And then next thing you know, Toronto goes out and has a 50-40-90 game.
Yeah.
And they win the game, which is to be expected.
Yeah.
It's a confident move by Steve Kerr, but I was all for it.
Yeah, of course. And Steve Kerr, and I mentioned this earlier. I mentioned this last week. BT and I rediscussed it earlier this week. I mean, he's underrated in so many ways as a coach.
Agreed.
He's had so much success, both as a player, 5 championships, 2 with San Antonio, and then 3 with the Bulls, obviously. And now 3 as a head coach. He's been at 5 straight finals. I mean, we don't give him enough credit. And I was challenging BT, really our audience and BT, is he already in the top 5 of coaches of all time? He's been amazing, and he's still got a lot of coaching left to do, and especially what he's doing this year and this postseason.
You know, it's tough. It's tough to kind of – because he hasn't been coaching that long.
Yeah.
But what he has accomplished thus far has been incredible. I played with Steve. He was a teammate of mine here in San Antonio. And you know why guys like Steve Kerr don't get a lot of credit? Because you hear fans say all the time, well, give me that Golden State Warriors team. I can coach that team to a championship because they have talent. And what people don't understand is how difficult it is to coach talent.
Yeah.
How difficult it is to coach talent. I've heard many people say, oh, man, of course Phil Jackson's going to win a championship. He has Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Or he has Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. Give me those teams. I win a championship. No. Because when you get talent, you have egos.
Yeah.
You have agendas. And it's tough to get guys with egos and agendas to sacrifice physically, financially, and all the other areas. And Steve Kerr has gotten this Golden State Warriors team to do that. That's why they continue to be championship relevant every single year. Winning 73 games. Winning 3 of the last 4 championships. Possibly 4 of the next 5, 4 of the last 5 if they win this year. I agree with you. I think he's extremely underrated, especially as far as in-game adjustments go. But what we do is we look on the outside, like we do with Kevin Durant, and say, oh, well, he has Steph, and he has Klay, and he has Draymond. He's supposed to win. So we don't give them the actual credit that they deserve for being successful.
Yep. I got about 30 seconds left, and then our show's over. Antonio Daniels with us here, 13 years in the NBA. He's got a chip from the 99 Spurs. So, 4-year player, you were at Bowling Green. I know you took a ton of shots because you were the man, 24, 25 points a game you last year. You ever see a box and one in college? And do you think that this becomes a little bit of a new trend in little spurts in the NBA moving forward?
And I think it should be. I'm not going to lie. I think it should be. If you look at that boxing one, yes, it was janky. Yes, it was weird, but it was also effective.
Yeah.
Because they outscored Golden State up to that point, up to when Andre Iguodala hit that 3-10-0. So it was effective in what they did. Yes, it's weird. And the whole point is what the NBA is all about. It's about not letting that guy beat you.
Yeah.
It's about not letting Steph Curry beat you or James Harden or any other star within this league and to make those other guys hit that shot that Andre Iguodala hit.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. We got to bounce. 5 seconds, literally 5 seconds. I got the Warriors now in 7. How about you? Quick.
I got to stay with what I said from day one. I have the Warriors in 6.
Okay. Great chat, buddy. Thank you very much, Antonio.
Appreciate it, fellas.
He's awesome. He's a ball of energy. Great. Boxing one.
Yeah.
Supporting
it. I forget that he was on that Spurs team that won the championship in 99.
Steve Kerr was there. Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of,
Steve Kerr, 4 in a row, by the way. Steve Kerr had a personal 4-peat. 3-peat, and then next year he went to the San Antonio Spurs.
What a life. Steve Kerr.
Oh, he's great.
Okay, we got a Friday tomorrow. We'll rev you up for game number 4. No Durant, maybe some news on Clay. Have a great Thursday. Catch you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.